I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to welcome everybody that's here. Glad to see you. Roll call, we have everybody here tonight. Next on the agenda is citizen input. And that's for any citizens that would like to address the council on any item that's not on the agenda tonight, but that is council business. If you raise your hand, I'll give you up to 5 minutes. You'll need to come up to the mic. State your name and address. Okay, and we'll move on from there. Approval agenda. Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Dan first.
Second.
Second. Charles, any discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay, that passes. Consent agenda. Do I hear a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Ken Johnson first. Ken Kaler second. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same? All right, that passes. All right, 4.1, Department of Transportation, First Avenue and SR 26. Bob, Romain?
Well, thanks for having me up here tonight. I'm going to go over the Stage 2 project. I noticed we have some new players' faces here from other businesses, so I'll kind of go over a little bit of the project, what we've gone through, and then we'll get to where we got to as the last workshop a couple months ago. So this project here is a City of Othello project. The funding is coming as a pass-through through the state DOT to the City of Othello to improve the safety of the SR 26 and First Avenue intersection here. The improvements that we're going to be doing are some channelization. Left turn will be still allowed to make up to First Street. The main thing, that the accidents that we saw at this intersection were the crossovers, people shooting across on the spur heading north onto First Street, visibility issues, speed issues, inattentive issues, you name it. We had a lot of accidents, so the funding came through to do some improvements to improve the safety of this intersection. So what we're doing here is last year we improved the vertical clearance underneath the Highway 24 under 26 to provide more trucks to go that way, and that was stage one. Stage two is we're improving the turning radius on this radius right here, and we're adding in some channelization, some raised pavement islands. To prevent the cross traffic this way, and also for left turn heading eastbound on the 26. What we're doing there to rectify this, moving this traffic movement, is we're going to go up to one of the local streets and do the redirect traffic to where they come around either Columbia, which is immediately to the north of this picture, or the next one is Waluke, or use that street. And so our eastbound traffic, if they wanted to come back onto 26, will go up, come across, come down Broadway, and take the spur and then out. Okay, that's pretty much what we're doing there. Again, the left turn movement then, heading westbound on 26 will be prohibited because of the accidents. And then that traffic will now go up north. If they want to head, say, south on 24, or anyway, they'll take a right, come up, cross, and then head south that way. That's the gist of the project right there. And what this does is it eliminates a lot of accidents that are occurring in that area. Having said that, since the last workshop, there were some things that we did look at. I think we covered the couplet system before on Maluk and Columbia. Does that ring a bell? It was discussed, and the couplet system basically is a one-way on each street. And I think we covered that the last workshop, or am I mistaken?
Why don't you go over it again? We have new people here tonight,
okay.
Bob. Thank you.
What this shows is the two blocks immediately north of Highway 26. When I refer to a couple, that means a one-way. You either have a one-way heading this way, or one-way heading this way, or a one-way this way or that way. I don't think the city has any of those, any one-way couplet systems that I'm aware of. We did look at that, but there's added cost to this. The costs go up because then you're touching two streets instead of just one. It's just DOT's belief that utilizing just one street is the one closest to Highway 26 is to the best advantage to the whole development down there. Just keeps the traffic more consolidated right there in that area, less confusing. And so we kind of looked at that. The main driver on LaLuke, going back to that, is this property right here. Any radius improvements pretty much wipe out almost most of their parking and their usability of that project, that piece there. So we looked at that. As a result of that, I believe the city did an ordinance pass to restrict truck movement down to this far now, I believe. And what that did is it eliminated any of the truck turning movements that are coming across here, which means we don't have to do the radius improvement. So that was one thing that came out of this discussion point, but we still have this radius to touch, this radius to touch, and this radius. Having said that, I'll get to another exhibit that shows what I mean by touching the radius is improving them for turning movement for the types of trucks that we're using are WB50s. They're not the interstate trucks, but they're the next size down from that. That's mostly what you see in the area in the city, so that's the least disruptive to the local properties as well. So anyway, we looked at this possibility of a one-way and a one-way this way. Of course, then the costs go up, and our funding's very limited on this project as well, so we have to really try to balance how to accomplish what we're doing down at the intersection there with the money we have. That takes us back to the Columbia route. Before I get there, well, I'll go there right now. That's pretty much where we're at. Something new on this project is we went back and looked at how could we utilize Columbia Street instead of going all the way up to LaLuke and get all the traffic down into the business area down here at the south end. One of the things that we did look at is some of the low-cost ways to keep within budget. And one of those ways to not touch the radiuses right here in this building is to rechannelize portion of Broadway, basically taking one of the lanes. There's, like, I believe, what, a center lane and two lanes heading south, two lanes heading north. Take this outside lane and shift everything over. That would provide us enough turning movement to get trucks to turn onto Columbia Street. I do understand that there is some concern about taking away capacity off Broadway, so we looked at other options, and I'll get to that. But primarily, this is a low cost. The restrictor is if you ever want to widen down, and this bridge down to the south here would have to be completely replaced in order to widen out to more lane configuration underneath that bridge. It simply doesn't have enough width for any more. The structure will have to go and rebuild completely. So this is an interim. I view this as an interim way to get to this point right here, interim low cost. Again, also on Columbia, in order to make this work, you can see a little bit of this thing is now kind of shifted a little bit. It's wide, narrow here and wide here for turning movements. Likewise, it's wide here and narrow up here for truck turning movements to get on here. This is a low cost approach. Any questions on that one from the city council?
Do you have any parking along there?
Parking?
You guys talking about parking at all, or are we going to?
Well, this here is all painted out. Mm-hmm. So I guess if the city would say, yeah, go ahead and park there, I don't see why not. I think right now, I think there's seasonal parking, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, it's sheds for engines right now. But on Columbia Street, I know we have no parking, but has there been talk about putting parking back up there?
Yeah, on Columbia, if we went this route, then there would be no parking on Columbia. It was similar to what we talked about with Luke. If you make this a busier route with trucks and everything else, parking's not a really good idea. The conflicts and confusion that you have. Again, on this, any street that we touch, I'm looking at doing the sidewalks from one corner to the next to complete the sidewalk. That's part of what we put into our estimate for the pedestrian component of this project. I would strongly recommend no parking on that street just for a flow. and to make sure that we have whatever curb cuts for the businesses coming in there. We define the business approaches with the approaches that we usually see across sidewalks. You want to try to control the flow to minimize the, points of conflict on that. So that's pretty much where we got. Questions on this piece here? Concerns? Yes?
Is that going to create a bottleneck when they start filling that place with onions? It takes them some time to do it, and they got a fire sitting out in the street, and the trucks are backed up to that.
I mean a bottleneck during construction?
They have to pull out and back into that big warehouse.
I'll get to that.
Your truck is sitting out in the traffic.
Okay. Right now, if we do this scenario, this is basically a lane that we striped out for no driving. That they'd probably be parked out there is my guess. Any of the people utilizing this shed.
Make it a little bit safer.
Yeah, it would. Yeah. And I understand this is seasonal. I don't know how often or how long it's used, but we have looked at another option, and I'll go over that here in a little bit. Like I said, this is our least cost option right now.
Excuse me, one second. Bob, any citizens or businessmen out there have any questions on Columbia Street since we're here of what he just discussed? Just raise your hand and we'll acknowledge you. Go ahead.
Yes. We're here with Wenatchee Patrol in Little Oil. We've discussed this to some extent. And listen to what Bob has to say. We operate the Shell and the 76 on the State Line corners there on Person 26. We have some extreme concerns about changes here. And I'm going to let Bob continue, but as we go through this, we'd like to say a few comments.
That's fine. Go ahead, Bob.
Okay. So anyway, excuse me, that's where we've gotten today. I do have, and I apologize for the clarity of the lines, but just for explanation, the yellow are some of the rechannelization that we're talking about, and this little pink line through here, and I apologize, it should be a little darker, but this is what we went out and surveyed all the monuments on the roadway, and this defines the right-of-way line where the property between the private and the city right-of-way is at. So there's, as we get into this, you can see some curves, these circular curves right through here, raised. This is the new, you can say that this pink line right through here, this line right through here would be basically your curb line. Likewise over here, that would be your curb line. The outside curve would be what your curb would be if we were to touch those radiuses. Okay.
I guess we have one more hand up back there when you get back up.
Yeah. Excuse me. I'm John Morris, Morris Mill Company. I have a facility on that location. And my understanding, your proposal to make Columbia a one-way street. That was one earlier. Can you not say
that? That is an option.
That's an option.
We have a.
To me, I could just move the one hazard over another street and another street. Once you just lower the speed limit going across the overpass, instead of putting everybody on the pump here.
We looked at the speed, right, and we've done a lot of different things. I think you guys understand that this is a safety corridor. We've had a lot of speed issues from here all the way down to Vantage. It's been an enforcement issue trying to get people to slow down. It really has been.
This is above 10 lower. It'd be a lot cheaper than. You're going to affect a lot of businesses. Man, you can't park there. That's out of seasonal, especially if you put that one way.
Okay, and let's look at the other options then.
Okay.
Now we're going to get into the more expensive options. Here is the potato shed that we saw on the corner of Broadway and Columbia. Working with the city, we investigated the potential, what we could do with this building, minimize the impacts, and not do the one-way, but provide two-way on Columbia right up here. We did look at this thing. Osborne Gray did analysis on the structure, came up with an estimate for us, and it looks doable from a structural standpoint. Of course, there's associated dollars with that. running at the tune of about $95,000 just for the structure repair retrofit. That's not talking about right-of-way acquisition. And I don't have a strong number for you on the right-of-way acquisition yet. We haven't even got into that phase. So that'll be something I'll bring up a little, in another workshop. But for now, you're talking somewhere around $100,000 to touch the corner of this building. Just to give you an idea of the budget, when we look at that for construction on this grant, I am looking at, well, essentially I have $150,000 for right-of-way, and I have about $130,000 and some change for some of the construction. It doesn't give me a lot of room to play with some of this stuff. I am looking for other funding sources to kind of partner with this project to try to come up with the best possible project. There's a possibility. I'm still looking into it, but just so you know, we're still looking to try to come up with a little bit of money to match what you guys got in your grant. And as we progress in this project, that when I know something, I'll definitely pass it through to Eamon, so you guys will have that. So anyway, this is a high cost. We are looking at the preferred solution would be not to go with one-way and confuse folks, but to keep this as a two-way, but still no parking on that Columbia. Once you start introducing a lot more trucks and cars, then you really need to start looking at the parking situation on that. So that's pretty much, yeah, Bob.
Does the council realize what kind of impact that's going to have on your local businesses? Yes, I'm all for safety like everybody else, but do you know what kind of impact you're going to cause? You're going to cause a lot of inconvenience. You're going to lose a lot of traffic on the 26. Nobody's going to want to come in there and have to go down three blocks, go over two blocks, back out, and come back around. I think there's other options that you should at least look at or consider before you do something like this. This is, you say you've got a small budget to work with. Well, I see where you'd probably do it a little less, Bob, if you did with stop signs, rumble strips. Wenatchee's got five stoplights within 4 miles of one another. Flashing lights. We've talked about this.
Yes, we have.
And I you're going to devastate my business. You're going to lose. I'm going to have to let people go. Therefore, the city's going to have some more unemployed people in the valley here that are going to be out of the job.
How does this impact your business? They can still turn right into
impact my business.
And they can turn left from 26.
It cuts off one of the entrances to my business. I can't get a tanker in and out of there if you cut that corner off.
What we've done here, and what he's referring to, is with this raised traffic island, and one of the issues of the safety of this intersection is people that shoot across this way, it's precluding them from using that pretty much. It prohibits anybody from shooting across heading westbound into here. The other concern that I understood was the tanker trucks coming out and making a left and heading north and out is what I understood in a meeting that we had. Is that correct?
Yes, it was.
Okay. And so what we looked at is we shortened up this island a little bit so, that allows trucks to come out and head north into this two-way left turn lane. Based off discussions with Wenatchee Petroleum, we revamped the original concept, if you will, because we never really got it locked in. We were still working through that. But out of their concerns in a couple of meetings, telephone meetings, we shortened up this island, striped this out, still allowed this to happen, but what happens effectively is this becomes a right in and a right out. For folks that want to come in, take a right to come in, and then when they leave, they take a right out. By restriping this, what that does allows any folks that want to go north into Othello, they still have that option now to take this lane and head north. So there is probably some impact, so I won't disagree with you folks on that. How much, I can't tell you, but I will tell you this, that we've contacted our TRIPS data office, and what they're doing is they're running projection numbers face off of this scenario, so we have a better understanding, not of of guesswork, but based off of the numbers that use these streets, and if we reconfigure it like this, we'll have a better numbers to kind of get an idea what the traffic patterns are doing. I don't expect to see that for about a month, and as soon as I get that, I'll definitely share that through the city. They can share it with anybody who has any concerns.
Well,
so I handle lease and acquisitions for Inland Oil Petroleum, National Petroleum. As early as this weekend, I had some appraisals and some assessments done on two properties there. And there's millions at stake here. I mean, close to $3 million value on the shale, and not too, well, somewhat behind the 76, but it's a lot of money. I don't think we're going to have a value left on the 76 when this is completed. I have no doubt that we want to sell the 76. Under these circumstances, I don't know how marketability is going to be. That's my major concern right now.
One of the options that we did discuss, and did you guys consider this piece as well, of doing some work on this alleyway and doing some alley improvements?
That, and I didn't see how that would suffice, and quite frankly, that is Lawrence Oil's property. That's not our property, and that would have to be in conjunction.
Who's that? Is that this business right here?
That's All American and Lawrence Oil.
This is?
Yes, right there.
Okay, so this alleyway is on their property? So where's your property line right on this side?
Having said that, I mean, they can reject my permit. I won't be able to do it.
Where's your property line at on this?
Is it
to the west of this or on the east side of this?
To the west of the
that green swath there is our subway drive-through, and then it's just to the west of that.
So basically, where my right about here then?
Right now, I parked my chessboard back there. It's on record. I think this last winter, I've had my windows broken. I've had attempts at theft of fuel. That's why I'm living in the fence. It has nothing to do with your project. I'm just talking about your security.
Okay.
Because my property does go back further south. And, yeah, and that, like I said, that would just make the alley even more of a forest.
One thing that we need to look at is when we get those projection numbers on the traffic of what this means when we reconfigure this and the traffic redistributes, what does it mean as far as how much traffic's coming this way and heading south on 26? There's still a lot of questions to be answered once we get that information. So
we're just voicing our concern.
Exactly. Yeah. I agree.
And we want you to voice too, because council wants to hear this.
Yeah.
As well, we want to hear what the state wants to do, and we're glad that the business has been involved in this. I know that Bob's been trying to make this work, so you know, so it benefits everybody and not affect our businesses a whole lot. So, you know, that's what tonight's about, and the future ones will be about. We want to hear from you, so thank you for voicing up and speaking.
Yeah, just to kind of go through some numbers, you know, when we talk about budget, just so you guys have a little snapshot of what we're looking at. Any radius improvement on these corners, just for construction, we're looking at about $15,000 a piece, just for the corners. $15,000. Rebuilding Waluke Street, an estimate is coming in at about $221,000. A rebuild on Columbia Street, we're looking at $237,000. The alleyway reconstruction was estimated out about $29,000, and that would have taken us, I believe, all the way to this point, somewhere down here. The spur down on here where it ties into 24, that's running us at about $125,000. The building, as I mentioned, the corner of this building right here, $95,000 just for the structural retrofit. And along with any rechannelization, when we're talking about directional signs and how to get from point A to point B with this change, we have four cantilever signs, and those things are estimated at about $200,000. I mean, it just keeps rolling and rolling and rolling. Trying to find a way to skin this cat in some way that we can all come up with something that will work and not impact businesses. So there's some trade-offs here. I think we still have some more information that we need to digest.
Just a rough guesstimate, what would it cost for stoplights?
Stoplights, that's a good one. You're talking about $500,000 when you start replacing all the stuff that's required. Again, as we talked in previous, a stoplight there, with the position of the sun heading east and west, that's a kind of a hazardous thing. Coming up and over the rise, this is a, obviously you can't tell, but there's a hill that drops down. There's some things here that we've talked about and looked at. Speed is a concern, driver expectancy is a concern, the position of the sun, what time of day is a concern. It just keeps rolling.
You're gonna have that no matter.
I understand. Granted, a case just down the road, Highway 1726, although it being two highway intersections, we tried a lot of different approaches to try to kill it. That was nicknamed Killer Corner, I believe. We finally got money to build an interchange. We're not going to see that kind of money down here for years. So we did, you know, we have looked at that. You know, we looked at a roundabout. Roundabout would just take too much property right here. It would pretty much decimate this property right there with a roundabout. Yeah. This takes money. So anyway, like I mentioned earlier, I am trying to find some matching funds somehow to partner with this project that we can come up with a better solution. Like I say, I probably have a better answer in the next workshop for you folks. Right now I don't have it. Money's tight on our side as well, so we're trying to get there. But this is where we're at right now. I think the key thing that I've kind of looking for is a sense from the community, and I understand Wenatchee Petroleum's concerns, but what I am trying to get a read so we can kind of at least keep moving forward or at least eliminating some of the options is, what does the council feel about rechannelizing Broadway? I know everything's tied to dollars. Ideally, it would be better to do clip this corner off this building and build the right kind of radiuses, but if I can come up with the money. If I can't, I don't know how. I don't have a sense on the city council as far as how you feel about rechannelizing a portion of Broadway on that. I'd like to get some input on that.
I'll tell you, you talk about Killer Corner up the road on this whole project, but if you do that, that is Killer Corner because it kills off a lot of business. It kills off a lot of people that come into our town. It really will. I agree wholeheartedly that we might as well just block that corner off if we do that.
Yeah, I would like to make a point too, is that, as you mentioned, people traveling through going to, say, a game or something from Seattle, all they know about Fell is that intersection. They pull off, they go there, they have something to eat, they fill their gas, whether their car can be Chevron, 76, or Shell, that's probably the place they pull into. They pull off, they know nothing about Fell but that one stop.
Yeah.
And it will be difficult, and you'll be misaligning that traffic.
Possibly putting 25 people out of
work. You know, people don't come to Othello because they have to. They come to Othello by accident. I mean, right now. I mean, we're trying to change that in the long run, but that's the reality. I mean,
portions of this project, and I mentioned the cantilevers, of course, cantilevered signs, is on Highway 26, of course, we'll have a lot of directional signs up in place as well. I mean, we don't just say change something and walk away. We do have the signing that goes up. We do have those signs that, you know, you could put your business on it, just kind of say, if you want to go to the station, take a right onto 24 spur and around. There'll be signs coming up to Columbia, if Columbia is the option. Definitely signs on 26, on both legs at 26. So, and I know, I went to Wazoo for 5 years. It took me a while to get through, but anyway. I know, I use that intersection too. That was one of the stops on the way. The next stop was Ellensburg. So I totally understand what you're saying there.
It's one, all about convenience, Bob.
It is.
You know, you can put names all over on signs and whatnot. That's not going to get those customers to come in there. They want convenience. They're not going to come around. They'll go on to Royal City or, you know, Vantage, whatever. It's going to kill the town is what it's going to do. You're going to lose a lot of business at that end of the town.
Gentlemen from Burger King, you wanted to mention something?
We had basically the same situation in California. There's 22 stores altogether, 7 in California, 11 in Washington, 4 in Idaho. And the freeway traffic actually did exactly what he was explaining. They either stopped at the town before or the town after. In Columbia, California, that it affected, you're down 30% of their restaurant we've ever gained. So it is a huge is a, you know, you stumble by and realize you're halfway and your gas is low and it's a place to stop. They're going to find the easiest place to go on and off. And I don't see us coming out and having you go around. They will get them the first time, but the second time they're going to stop at the town before and the town after.
So, Bob, is it possible to have a traffic lane?
We looked at that. I can go back and try the well again.
That would be the only light between Pullman and Vantage, mm-hmm. or Pullman and Seattle. That would be the only light, mm-hmm. and you'll have just like Killer Corner out here.
Yeah.
You do not want a light there.
It's been a concern of DOT. I mean, we've looked at that option. Tried to look at a lot of options. We can try it.
50 to 30.
What that does on a highway in particular is it violates the driver expectancy, and we already know that 26 is already a hazardous road because of speed, and we're going to be back. We're basically introducing another element that could cause another problem.
Is it feasible to cut the southern portion off by the John Muir dealership and make them go down and come out Columbia and come around so there's not any shooting across?
For 24? You're talking about accessing 24, right? That way?
Yes. Yeah, so that spur 24
just shoots up.
Mm-hmm. Is due completely away with that. And force them on, what is it, 24?
Yes. So 24 is over here. So what you're saying is to prohibit people shooting across.
Correct. Or making a left-hand turn, or shooting across. If you're heading westbound,
mm-hmm.
you take it out so there wouldn't be left-hand turns that are just after that drop-off on the rise you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So force the traffic instead of having that spur, just use 24 and have them go up to Columbia and then come down First Street.
So basically, then you introduce your right turn movement off of the intersection heading east and your left turn back. And then so then you also have left turn that stays, and then you'll need to...
You open up the whole intersection except do away with the spur.
I guess I can look at that option again. We'll have to send in for projections and see what that's what does that mean. What does the council think about that? This is a city project, so I really need to have some input from the city council on this.
Spur. if you're going through that, and if you come off of that spur to make a left turn and go south on 24, you're stuck with trying to watch somebody coming from the other side, coming down Broadway.
Yeah.
And the traffic is going to be unreal there, and you can't see there anyhow. So, and you have trucks pull up there. That's going to be another bottleneck right there. Guys coming off the there, and they want to go left. They want to go south. There's going to be a lot of traffic at that corner.
Right here.
You can't see underneath the overpass. You
know, right here.
You can't see very well back up Broadway to the north.
That's one thing that we've noticed, that the sight distance right here with this stop bar where it's at right now, you don't have adequate sight distance. And we actually exacerbated a problem last year in stage one because we introduced a little bit more sag coming through there, I believe. We couldn't do anything to touch this slope here to kind of lay it back just because of the bridge, the way the bridge is built. So you have a really good point there that, yeah, there is a sight distance issue there. And then you're going to introduce more traffic coming down there, and it will bottleneck it up. Totally clipping off Highway 24 spur on here. I think there'll be a strong argument from the folks down south, especially like the John Deere, that they want to have an access to their business as well, direct access. So it's still another argument from the folks in the south.
But the way that is there, even coming off that spur, you're still not going to be able to get into the John Deere from there. You're still going to have to go over
there. Well, for folks that come this way, and this corner right here gets a lot of wear. And, you know, part of this project is I'll have to kind of rebuild this piece because it's starting to kind of fall apart from the truck turning movement coming down here. Who they are, I don't know.
Can
but
you create an off-ramp before the bridge?
Over,
to 24?
Over here?
Yeah.
We looked at that. What you have.
Absolutely, because
John Deere is one business now.
John Deere, no matter what, because you've
got
to go to John Deere.
Going to be there this weekend,
but you get a lot of people from the colleges and stuff that come in, and what they want to do is buy hats or T-shirts and stuff like that.
I want to put that on sale in the stores. So
I saw all the John Deere hats.
There's a couple of things that we'd be dealing with. Would be the railroad crossing, introducing a highway ramp on a railroad across a railroad would generally not be a good idea. The other thing is that's a neighborhood down at that end of Moon Street on a county piece, I believe. So you're introducing more traffic through a neighborhood. So there are some concerns there. We looked at a lot of, we had a value engineering study I think back in 2005 and looked at a lot of different scenarios, interchanges, you name it, all over this corridor, from Moon Street all the way to Reynolds Road, basically, where to put a different interchange in. The cost, I mean, we're talking some money just for some regionalization. Interchange is definitely pricier project. It,
if we access,
we couldn't simply get 30 these days at all.
West.
We did look at those options, and you know, if anybody wants to have some of that information, I can try to get. If you guys want some specific information on these options, then I definitely I would like to supply it to you guys.
In the DOT files, there has to be another interchange like this that you've dealt with. Do you have it on file, what happened to the businesses, and you put in this time that you have laid out?
Something like this, every intersection is unique. I don't think you can say one this is going to represent another one, and I honestly don't know if I could find any information, to tell you the truth, that would say we put this in, this is the impacts of the businesses, because everyone is so different. It really is. It'd be hard to be apples and oranges or apples and grapes on that. There might be some kind of a trend, but you'd have to split out and find every intersection we've done over the last 20 years to see what the impacts were. I simply don't have that kind of information.
You talk about a stoplight creating more accidents and stuff like that, but do we realize how many stoplights there are on Highway 18?
Highway 18. Right.
Yeah.
What a stoplight does, it changes the type of accident. It won't reduce the accident so much. Instead of getting the T-bones, you're going to get the rear enders. That's the trade-off right there with a light. It makes it really, you're not reducing the accidents per se. Maybe the severity, perhaps.
Can you move the spur down across the road?
There's one there.
Along the front
one
on
each side of the freeway.
The next street.
There's one down at whatever that Japanese name street is.
So you're taking the load off that intersection in your
north.
You know, I'm drawing a blank of what's down there. I haven't looked that far east for a while. Again, rebuilding a roadway, as I illustrated on just that short section of Columbia, you're almost looking at $240,000. It'll totally blow us out of the budget. But that's a good idea. I mean, it probably was looked at. But
that's all 50 miles an hour.
Stop on
both sides of town, George. I don't know, Royal City's what, 20 miles west, and the only restaurant out there is Judy's, which is about 4 miles on west of Royal City, and it's 40 miles advantage, and I don't think there's anything but a convenience stop between Othello and Colville, I guess, maybe, on the highway. There's no place to eat.
Pardon? No, there's that Conoco, but it's...
There's a subway there also.
Where's that?
Yeah.
Between Colfax, you mean?
Did
they hear?
Royal City? Is there a subway there?
There's a subway there, yes, with the gas station.
That's at, what, the interchange of 395 and 26, is that the one? Yeah. So what I'm hearing, though, is there a way that we could restrict this even more? Might be an option. I can go back and take a look, but I can pretty much guarantee you dollars to donuts that the budget won't be there for it. I can look at it for you if you want.
So what are you looking at trying to do?
One of the suggestions was to just totally cut this off and try to move this further down away from this intersection so you don't have a four-way. And what that does, of course, will eliminate the cross traffic, which this already does. It also eliminates turning traffic basically you're just creating two intersections, two half intersections instead of one full intersection. That eliminates a lot of conflict points, which is a problem as well. Moving it to the east, moving this piece to the east would be great if I had the money, because what that does is it gains me the sight distance off this little profile coming down off here. I mean, it does have some safety benefits. I just don't think we can get there with the money. And because then you have right-of-way acquisition as we go along, as you want to move it down. So construction right-of-way will go up, guaranteed on that.
Is SR 24 spur completely necessary? I mean, that can't go away no matter what?
I don't know if I have an answer for that. There's a lot of traffic. I know Bethel's looking at developing south of 26. There's a lot of work going on down there, a lot of businesses down there. I'm not the one to answer that. I think over time it's just going to grow south. So the need for a spur will actually increase, in my mind.
Well, if you move that spur down, then you affect those businesses again, at least from that direction. But you're mainly picking your business up from the people running back and forth on 26, right? So the spur isn't as big of an issue if we move it down a little bit. That could be an option, sounds like.
Moving the spur access?
Sounds like that could be an option.
I'd have to look
at
it.
As far as Evergreen stuff, we really don't want to be left out of that loop. We have a lot of people coming in and out.
Yeah. The thing is, though, my guesstimate, I'm going to guess, just for distances between intersections, you're looking at least a quarter of a mile.
Really?
To the east, just to have your clearances between two major intersections like that. And you talk about, like, left-turn storage capacity for the tapers that you see right through here. You have to taper and widen out the road to get your left turn, how much trucks are going to turn. That dictates how big the storage area is for turning movement. So when you factor all that stuff in and you start sliding that intersection down a ways, I can look at that for you if you want, just to give you an idea. You know, I've done a lot of other exercises, and I'd be more than happy to run some numbers to give you an idea what that means for budget, just so you have that piece of information.
You want to see that, Council? You want to see it?
It's another option.
Sure, let's see it.
Let me make one suggestion here.
Go ahead, Ken.
Also looking at this thing, if you cut the left turn truck traffic off of Highway 26 East Ballard, you will take care of some of your problems that you've got, because they can only go two blocks anyway. The way we've got our ordinance, they can't go on up north on First Street. All you got to do is take those trucks, turn them to the right, they come on down, hit Highway 24, they go either direction. And like Dan says, clean up that bank down there so you can see northbound after you come off of that spur. That's an accident waiting to happen ever since it's been there. But trucks can probably see, cars cannot see that intersection. That's the number one priority in that particular area right there. But if you take that truck traffic off there, that does two things. They no longer turn left, creating a problem going northbound, but it also, your storage area on your left turn lane eastbound on 26, you've got more room for cars to stack up there. They don't get over into the through lane that comes through there. But if you've got one truck there and three cars, you're out into the eastbound through lane there, which creates problems along with everything else. But if you get rid of that truck traffic, get it to turn right, that way they're no longer turning left going down First Street. And that would help a lot in that intersection. And you can look at these other options as well, too. But I think that's one of the hang-ups we've got in there. And I'm kind of like everybody else. I'm not totally away from that light there. You know, we've got nine of them up on 17 and going through Moses Lake. When they put the first one in, everybody complained. But now you got nine of them that you stopped at. So what's the difference? If we put one here, we put one on 14th, we put one on Cunningham, pretty soon people are going to realize we've got stoplights around and stop it. You can put a caution light down the street, ahead of it, both directions, warning lights that are synchronized with those, and make it work. And it wouldn't jeopardize that whole intersection. I kind of go along with you guys. I mean, it's going to impact that whole business area one heck of a lot. I realize, yeah, we've killed one or two people out there, but you also got to look at the situation. We've got a business here, we've got a town here. You don't want to cut it off, and that's exactly what you're doing. We've got places from Othello or from Seattle to Pullman, and it's a throwaway. Take a look at it on a Friday night or a Sunday night when they're coming and going. And I think we're cutting our own throat.
Have you, the Newport Highway, Highway 2?
Pardon?
Highway 2, US 2, going out of Spokane, heading to Newport, Washington. Right out in the sticks, at Farwell, where it crosses, has a traffic light on the middle of the highway.
Really?
Yeah, and they've got the flashing lights that are timed to the light. They start coming on when the light's getting ready to change. It gives it, I don't know, it's 30 seconds or whatever, I don't know. Because I go that way to go to our family cabin. It's out in the sticks, I mean, right. Nowhere.
We have a few of those on Highway 2 and 97 from Wenatchee up towards Leavenworth. Initially, we were a little hesitant about putting in some lights. The public really hated it, didn't want to do it. We did a study on it, and those flashing lights, and actually, we were really surprised at how those flashing lights are working. California, on the other hand, depending on the culture of the drivers, sometimes those flashing lights means go faster, and then you have the other accidents that occur, the high speed, because people are trying to run these intersections. We've been very fortunate the driving culture up in these parts of the woods is not so bad. Having said that, though, still, there are still concerns about a signal. We can look at that again. But I'll tell you this, you're trading different types of accidents, T-bones for rear-enders. Which ones do you want?
Hey, Bob, can you tell me how many accidents there's been at the intersection since
like,
the stoplight there?
No, I can't. I'm going to have to apologize. I don't have those numbers at the top of my head. But I can definitely get those to you.
The light is where we're venturing to, is that you have the capacity to change the runtime on the lights and let the traffic flow so we don't lose that capacity and have the shorter light being coming off of first and dispersing on to 26. Is that correct?
Yeah, you can phase the signal depending on which leg, time of day. There's a lot of factors they can plug into a signal line. So, City Council.
I appreciate you folks doing business here, and I want you to succeed, but there is a different perspective. I've been on the fire department for 30 years, and I'm the one who gets to go cut people out of cars at that intersection. So, that's the perspective we're looking at it. I think a light, if you've ever stood out on 26 on Apple Cup weekend or spring break or Mother's Weekend, you'll have traffic backed up 2 miles, and they'll be backed up before they even get to the warning light. So I would be very much opposed to a light. I don't think that'll work at all. We've cut dead kids out of cars at Killer Corner, and there were lights, stop signs, rumble strips, flashing, and they just sail right through it because it was the only stop between Pullman and Seattle. So that's my perspective. So I don't have the answer. I don't know that this is the answer, and I do disagree with the state why you can't slow traffic down to 35 through there and not do all this, because you're headed to Pullman from here and you leave town at 65 and all of a sudden you get outside Dusty and it goes down to 50. So people know how to slow down. So I don't know why we can't stop it, phase down to 50, 40, and go through that intersection at 35. But I think something needs to be done, because it's, you know, the statistics prove it, and personal anecdotes, it's a bad intersection.
Would it be feasible to have possibly three different phases that we look at and do the slowdown, which would be the least expensive, and then collect data off of a 90 or 120-day cycle to see if something more is needed, or to what percent that corrected the problem?
That could be a revenue generator for the state or the city.
One thing about doing an interim thing and then stepping back is the funding that we got has a window on it, and it goes away. So if we do that approach, you may get something that may not work, and then the money's gone.
Can we approach the funding agency for an extension?
I don't know about that. I'd have to ask that question.
I got another question for you. We tried to do that originally as a city, mm-hmm. and we were denied. We got them to 50. There used to be yellow caution, you know, yellow sign 35, 60 through there. Mm-hmm. And what's it take to get it down to 35?
I'd have to ask that question with our traffic engineer on that one.
Yeah, because we tried, when we originally went to 50, we were shooting for 35, because I was on the council, and Ken was, a lot of us were. Mm-hmm. And you guys wouldn't do it, as far as DOT, that is. They wouldn't go to 35, because they said it was a highway. We don't go down that low, or something like that. It's a while back when we discussed this, but, you know, that was something we were trying to do as a city, to get them to move that down to 35 to slow traffic down.
You go down to 40 on the way into Moses.
Highway 2 drops down to 40.
Well, Highway 17 into Moses drops down to 40. 45.
I'll go back and ask some questions.
There was flashing lights and a yellow sign, I think it said 45, and somehow we got word, and people knew that was a, quote, recommended speed, and they didn't have to adhere to it. So it was basically pretty useless after a while.
If the sign is a black and yellow sign, that's advisory. If we sign it black and white, that's enforceable. That's regulatory at that point.
If it's yellow, it's
recommended. Okay, well, I guess you got enough to work on, you think?
Okay, let me recap a little bit.
Okay, good.
I didn't really get a full answer on the Broadway rechannelization. Can I just get a sense of where the council is on that?
Broadway rechannelization, as far as the white lines and stuff out in front of the storage?
Yeah, just let me scroll.
It's one lane going to two there anyway, so if it's another block and a half of one lane, I don't think it's a big issue. Plus, it would eliminate a lot of that. I mean, a guy got hit out there last year, was down out there loading trucks.
A few times a year the potato shed blocks off that lane, it backs up a lot.
Hmm.
On Broadway, and they only do it a few times, and for very short amounts of time, and to have it blocked up like that all the time, I can see that it would be a problem at times.
You realize it's just one lane going in there.
I know.
I'll take your word for it. I haven't seen that back up, but I'm not down there that much.
I'll vouch for it. I'm there every day.
A full potato shed?
Well, Charles.
Well, just touching that one corner right here. $95,000 just to do the building retrofit. There ain't no money to do relocate a building.
No, maybe they'd relocate if the city would give them land.
I guess I could talk to you.
We don't have any land.
No. No, and they won't relocate that. That's just, it's across the street. I mean, maybe.
So can you maybe focus on the lights and the speed limit thing and see what we can come up with before we go that direction? Or you need to know on that too?
No, I'll go back and talk to the lights and the signal and the speed reduction. No guarantees, I can tell you that right now. But what I will do when I ask the question is I'll come up with a detailed response, send it down to Eamon, and then send it to Eamon. Can disperse it to you folks, to the council. So you have something to read, and in the next workshop, whenever that is, probably a month or two, we can discuss it again. I would like to kind of maybe do it. You have your council at the how often do you have your council workshops?
First Monday of each month.
Okay. Hopefully the first part of September it would be good to maybe have another meeting. I'm not sure if I'll be in town or not, but let me look. But sooner the better.
Has it been discussed at all just allowing all the turns, but just stopping the traffic from the cross traffic from First to Spur and back that way? Can you do that?
So there's no cross traffic
across 26. Just eliminate that.
That's kind of.
I don't think you can block it, as of it, but maybe signage or something. Is that?
You could put raised concrete down the middle.
Yeah, but they got to be able to come out to turn.
Oh, they still don't make it.
I think my intuitive feeling is that's a lot of the wrecks is people cutting across there. You know, you're cutting across four.
I have the accident diagram from, I think it was up to 2009. Let me pull that up real quick.
But I'm thinking things like combinations, slow the traffic, cut the cross traffic.
Yeah, so what you have here is your accidents are coming. I don't know. Who can see? I'll go over here, I guess. You see these arrows are turning left on the first. This gives you a sense of what we're looking at. A left turn lane, left turn, left turn. Here's a left turn coming on to 26. Here's a left turn going on to the spur. A lot of the movements that you're seeing, you see the cross traffic here, but I see a lot of turning movements creating some of the injury accidents here. I mean, you can eliminate one of the accident sets somehow or reduce it by cutting the cross traffic, but you're still having turning movements creating some accidents. And the accidents are occurring. You look at the time of day, where's the sun setting, you know, the visibility when the sun's in your eyes and seeing somebody make a left turn or somebody saying, oh, here, I got to make this turn now. And there they go. You know, you have some issues there. You really do. Turning movements are causing some of the accidents. I don't know if I have that split up.
Gentlemen, raised your hand out here, somebody? Where'd you go?
Have we thought of possibly putting up signs that say caution, left turn yields?
I'll go back to Kilder Corner. We tried signs, they don't work. So I'm gonna recap a little bit here. You guys will think about the channelization on Broadway. I'm going to go back and look at the signal, revisit the signal and the speed reduction, and come up with a detailed response back to the City Council through Eamon. What else do I have here if I'm missing anything? I'll look at the shifting of the spur access to the east to kind of split that intersection out a little bit, so at least know the cost of that. It won't be pretty, but I'll do that. And I think that's the main things. Am I missing anything?
Doesn't sound like it.
Can we go back to the intersection?
The aerial? The photo?
Or
we've cut off cross traffic anyway, haven't we?
Only so coming from the east.
The current thing?
Yeah.
We cut off the cross traffic across toward John Deere, right?
Yeah, by putting these islands in, especially this one, excuse me for my voice, this here will cut off and prohibit cross traffic at this point in time, at least heading south. Likewise, this island here will eliminate the northbound cross traffic by putting that raised island there. That's what we're doing with those raised islands.
Your left turn into the spur is the only cross across the traffic? Coming down 26.
So you have left turn, you have a right turn, you have a right turn here, and you have a right turn here, and a right turn.
There's no left turn at all across that intersection?
No left turn heading westbound on here. If they want to go on 24, they'll go up First Avenue. So that increases the trips going up First Street, and then up to Columbia, and then down this way. So when we talk about projections, yeah, some limits are going to be restricted, but some limits are going to be encouraged. And we really need to look at the projections a little bit more.
But there is a left turn heading eastbound on 26 on the first.
This stays.
There's no left turns there?
Where? Here?
Yeah, that's a going left east. Turn, right?
This is a left turn that's here now.
Right.
Right now, you can take a left off of First and head east. With this, you can.
With all due respect to the businessmen, but I can make an argument that with this diagram, we'll run more people by your businesses. Because if they want to go to 24, they have to go in front of your business. And if they want to go west on 26, they have to go in front of your business, where now they go up the spur and take a left and never go by your business.
Okay, what happens when you've got people backed up at the stoplight ready to turn right to go west on 26? You got a guy that's heading west on 26 is turning on to First Street. He can't get across to our station because there's cars backed up. Then you get a bottleneck there.
Well, I would make the point that happens now. I've seen it happen now.
Worse when you do this.
I think the bigger issue is going to be in this scenario, when they make the right-hand turn only to go west, what they're going to do is just get up over that bridge and hang an illegal U-turn, where traffic is not going to be able to see them.
Yeah. I mean, because, again, they have the same access to your stores. The only thing that's confusing is if they want to continue eastbound, they can turn left in, but then they got to go circle around to get back to eastbound.
They're not going to do that.
Because a heck of a lot more people travel 26 than they do 24.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those college kids just fly on by that intersection and go somewhere else to get their gas. And
the people that do run 24 will just take 17 to Bench and cut over. They'll just bypass it altogether.
Well, I can see we got some more discussion to do.
I'll be back.
Okay. Thanks, Bob. And thank you, everybody, for sharing. You gave Bob lots to think about. So,
I would like to encourage us to get to this point of some decision here pretty soon in the next couple of months. Just like I referenced the window of the funding that's available. We're into the 11-13 biennium. And I need to spend the money out by the end of the 11-13 biennium. That means the project build and constructed with going back and revisiting these. And I appreciate the input, I do. I'm not discounting that whatsoever. But what I'm up against now is delivery. And what I mean by that is by the end of the 2011-13 biennium, which is June 31st, 2013, I need to spend that money out. And one of the things that I'm up against is if we're talking right away, that process in itself can really drag out, trying to get acquisition for right away, the negotiation process, the appraisal process, the whole ball of wax, that could drag out to at least a year. So I'm already starting to get a little bit concerned about delivery on this project. So I really need to get to that point of a decision. I'll come back again, reviewing everything that we've gone through. As soon as I get the projections, they go to Amon, I think, but Wenatchee Petroleum and Burger King. Can I get a card? Do you have a business card?
I'll give one to you.
Okay, thank you. And we'll get that information out to anybody that's concerned. So I use Amon as my conduit to the business community. So it goes to him. Please get a hold of Amon Sheldon, and he'll get that information to you as soon as I get it. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
I'd also like to interject that I have talked to Representative Fagan about this, and she's very concerned that we may end up having to place where people want. So the last thing we need to do is to have some, let people go.
Representative who?
Fagan.
We're very concerned about killing people, so.
Well, we all are.
Well, I don't get your point.
You're going to put 25 people out of work.
It's certainly not our intent to do that. But
why doesn't the city buy our location from us, and then you guys can do whatever you want?
We're not in the business. Doing what you do.
Okay. Well, let's move forward. Move on. Thanks a lot, Bob.
Thank you, gentlemen. Uh-huh.
Okay, 4.2, resolution authorizing the use of Lyons Park community outreach event.
Oh, forgive me. Sorry about that.
Terry.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. Can you hear me now? Tonight, Pastor Dan Riddle has requested the use of Lyons Park for the community outreach event scheduled for Friday, September 30th, 2011. This event is being organized by the Othello Christian Church and the Pine Street Baptist Church. Their event will begin at 5 p.m. with a disaster feeding relief trailer that will provide food for those in attendance, and then they will have a concert with Christian music. It will conclude at 9 p.m. and will be located where the stage is placed in Lyons Park for other events. The scheduled times may change a little if this is the night of the homecoming football game. If approved, the church will sign the facility use agreement and will provide the insurance certificate. Approximately 400 for porta potties and approximately 70 for garbage. Staff recommendations. Recommends that the council approve the resolution to authorize the use of Lyons Park.
The approximately $400 and $700 is in-kind service, correct? That's what I read anyway. They're requesting?
Yes.
What should you commonly for stuff like this? Any questions? No? Okay, do I hear a motion to approve the resolution authorizing use of city property for the community outreach event to be held on Friday, September 30th? 2011.
Make that motion.
Mark Snyder first.
Second.
Dan second. Any further thoughts, questions? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same. Okay, that passes. Thank you. Okay. Resolution accepting the Columbia Street Storm Sewer Project. Larry?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. We have before you this evening the acceptance of the Columbia Street Storm Sewer Improvements Project, which installed approximately 1,540 feet of 8-inch through 24-inch storm sewer pipe in and along Columbia Street between 3rd Avenue and 7th Avenue. And on the map in front of you, that's the area where it says project location in red. This is a project that was done in conjunction with the developer developing the SageStone projects, that they had a retention pond after SageStone 5 and 6 was installed, and working with them for SageStone 7, it was determined that they should connect to the city's storm sewer system, and as a part of that project, they installed piping basically from 14th in Gemstone to the intersection of 7th and Columbia, and the city then connected with the storm sewer pipe that augmented the existing system in Columbia Street from 3rd to 7th. At this time, staff is recommending acceptance of the project, which would start the period for release of retainage. Contractor has forms to fill out, city has forms to fill out, send to the state, and then we ensure there's no liens or claims on the project, and the releases then are received from the State Department of Labor and Industry, Department of Revenue, and Employment Security Department before the retainage is released. And in your agenda package is cost summary, the map, the final progress estimate to the contractor, Chris's Excavation, and the resolution accepting the project as complete. I'd be happy to answer any questions you would have.
Just to refresh my memory, this was a bid project?
Yes.
Okay.
It went out through Small Works Roster. And if I recall, there was about half a dozen bidders.
And does your firm monitor the placement of that pipe and the?
Yes, we did on this project at the request of the city. And contractor, I thought, did a good job. They got in, they got through, did a good job of surface restoration. The ditch that's there now will serve the city, and the piping system will serve a number of developments to the east of the area.
Good. Any other questions? Okay, do I hear a resolution accepting the Columbia Street Storm Sewer Improvements Project?
I so move.
Okay, Ken. Kayla first, Dan second. Any other comments? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same. Okay, thank you. Larry? Okay.
I'll comment that was under budget too a little bit, so I think that was great.
Yep.
The project was under the original numbers that were put together for estimates. We actually came in based off of the bid price, 2 additional feet of pipe over what was estimated. So it came in about $40 over what was estimated, just because of the placement of the manholes and how it lined up with where the developer's contractor left off his pipe. So it came in pretty darn close.
Good. Thank you. Okay, a resolution to authorize use of Lions Park for men's softball tournament. Terry, you run on that or somebody else? Terry?
Good evening.
Good evening.
Mr. Charles Garcia has requested the use of the ball fields at Lions Park to host the Hispanic Latino State Softball Championship during the weekend of August 27th and 28th. If council approves the park use, he will enter into a facilities use agreement and will provide a certificate of insurance. The city will need to provide a public works employee for a total of 16 hours overtime, 2 porta potties, and extra garbage containers and disposal. Expected cost to the city is $600 for overtime, $100 for porta potties, and $200 for garbage for a total of $900. Staff recommends that you approve the use of Lions Park.
Charles, how many teams are we looking at, you think?
I think we'll be 32 this year.
32 teams?
Yep. 32.
Do you have a question?
Can a private business sponsor that so the city doesn't have to pick up the cost?
You betcha. We have no problem with that at all.
Burger King's in there.
Hey, I would love to feature you guys.
Okay, great.
Yeah, in conjunction with, we have some other bat manufacturers and stuff like this. And we... I'm a huge advocate. I hope you profit from it hugely. I do this not for profit. In fact, it'd be nice if they just didn't approve it because it'd save me a few $1,000s. But it's a great event. Love to plaster Burger King all over that thing.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So I guess if you get hold of Charles right here, he'll get you going the right direction so you can do that.
Or just get with the city, actually.
Yeah.
That's the custom they got to get.
Okay, yeah. Get a hold of the city and ask for Eamon Sheldon. And
I'll get with you and get some Burger King stuff going for the fences and what have you.
The phone number is 488-5686. Think about that. Great. Well, appreciate that. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Do I hear a motion to approve the resolution to allow for the ball tournament?
I'll make that motion.
Gina second. First. Ken Johnson second. Any further comments? Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same? Great. And we even got some of it paid for. That's good. Thank you very much. We appreciate that. Okay. Old business?
Yeah. Quick little thing. I don't know whether that light's been taken care of down on Broadway and Main yet. I've heard a couple complaints again, so hopefully that caution light gets extended, especially on Broadway.
I think it's been fixed. I take it every morning.
Yeah, it's longer than it used to be.
I mean, a couple of days ago, I had a couple of comments about it, so I was kind of quick.
We're not going to go 5 minutes. Something. It is extended because I go through two all the time. So, yeah.
On that same subject, while Terry's here and Mr. Julius, I was a little disjointed that when we asked for that extra second, it was the contractor will do it when they're in town. And it was my understanding that we were going to, part of the contract was we get training on those lights, and eventually somebody from the city crew will be able to make some adjustments like that. Yeah, I mean, are we going down that path, or am I on the right path, or what's the status of that?
Yeah, the city in Newburgh did receive training, and I would think that Bill would be able to do that. Yeah, so it's already done, and they're taking advantage of the training that they
have. Because the letter we got said the contractor who put it in, when the next time they're in Othello, will fix it. So, you know, I don't know what that means, if that's, you know, if they're here every 3 days or every 3 months, so.
We didn't want to wait that long, so we asked the city to see if they could do it, and the training was high.
Okay. Yeah.
Didn't want to wait that long.
So that was the general idea, though, was that somebody, that Mr. Burke, our city crew, would be able to make some, tweak those signals.
Okay. So Terry, are we comfortable with working on the lights as far as?
Yeah, we can only go so far. We're not totally licensed electricians, so shooting the reset the button and shooting the code we can do as far as checking out the rest of the stuff and the test equipment. You gotta have just a little more knowledge in that department, so you can ask where Bill comes in on that side.
Okay, good. So we can get some of it. Good. Any other?
Yeah, I got my questions answered. They answered my questions on bills.
Any other old business? New business?
I just want to make a comment that we're trying to be paperless, but I still come into my file and find notes from Amen and different companies and our lawyer. And I'd like to reiterate that if those aren't stamped confidential, to me they are public knowledge and can be released to the public. So we need to be on the same page that if that's private information that shouldn't be spread over the airwaves, it needs to be stamped confidential. Because otherwise we have no way of knowing as a council member just coming in and picking up a packet.
Catherine, you have a comment?
I'm not sure what information you're...
Anything we get in writing.
We have folders with our names on them, and paper comes into these to us, a lot of it. But I assume it's just all public knowledge, correct?
Well, if you ever receive anything from me that I feel it needs to be sent to you, I will put something on that as random. Most of the memos that I furnish that are addressed to mayor and council are public record.
Okay, we're on the same page then. You will stamp some kind of stamp that this is.
I will have in all caps and bold a statement at the beginning of any memorandum from me that's to be kept confidential, designated as such.
Okay, and I would recommend the same thing for Eamon, that if somehow we'd be reminded that or set off that this is not to be released to the public. Because, you know, it just keeps us all from getting into trouble.
Okay.
we think something, we get a note we think is public knowledge and it shouldn't have been, and it didn't say anything on it, it could be a not good situation.
Okay. Any other new business? Okay, mayor's announcements. The mayor's luncheon is this Wednesday, August 10th, at noon at the Senior Citizens Center. Sheriff Doug Barger will be the speaker this month, so if anybody's interested in coming then, it's at 12 o'clock. And then the last day the pool will be open is Saturday, August 20th, and they'll be taking Sunday to clean up and get everything put away. And there will be no council meeting next week because it's the third Monday of the month. So, other than that,
we have an ACDC meeting this Thursday.
This Thursday, the ACDC, at what time?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock, the ACDC meeting. Hmm? This meeting's adjourned. Thank you for coming, everybody.
18. Our workshop falls on Labor Day. Our workshop falls on Labor Day. Unless there's not a lot on it.
We needed that next level where he says scan this in and send it out.
Exactly. And that's why I'm here, but I just don't think he's quite comfortable with that.
Rebecca, Ms. Dover.
Want to turn the mics off?